The aim of our Living with Diabetes podcasts is to share information and inspire, and we endeavour to ensure that the information provided in them is accurate. It's not a substitute for medical or health advice from a healthcare professional who's aware of the facts and circumstances of your individual situation. We always recommend that advice be sought from your GP or diabetes nurse before making any changes to medication or before using any products or services referenced by DRWF. DRWF will not be held liable or responsible for failure to seek competent medical or health advice from a professional who's familiar with your situation. Views, information, or opinions contained in podcasts do not necessarily represent opinions, standards, or policies of DRWF. The inclusion of details about products or services does not indicate DRWF endorsement of them.
Hello and welcome to the latest Living with Diabetes special podcast, looking at research supported by Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. I'm Claire Levy, and in this edition we're looking at an interesting research project which looks at how the outside structure of cells change when they stop responding normally to insulin. This in turn alters how insulin works and informs the development of new drugs to help people living with diabetes. I recently spoke with Dr. Lee Kang to discover more.
Hello, my name is Lee Kang and I'm a senior lecturer at the University of Dundee. My research focuses on studying the regulation of fuel and energy metabolism in health and disease conditions, including obesity, diabetes, and heart problems.
So you received the pump priming in 2007. Can you just explain what pump priming is?
I think pump priming refers to investment of a relatively small amount of funding in order to generate preliminary data and ideas to secure more funding.
So I think you've just given us the title of your research, but do you just want to talk through that again?
So the title of my research is Role of Adipose Tissue ECM Integrin Signaling in Inflammation and Insulin Resistance.
So what did this award mean to you and your research at the time of your career?
It really meant a lot. I started my independent career in 2014 and I had quite a number of failures, to be honest, applying for major grants at the time. And the main reason is really lack of preliminary data. So I realized that I would need to go for smaller grants to help with developing research ideas and preliminary data. And the DRWF pump priming awards caught my interest, so I applied.
Fabulous. And has the award helped you secure more funding since 2017?
Yes, since 2017, I have successfully secured three major project grants, with two as principal investigators and one as a co-investigator. It has really helped building the foundation of my research program.
So, talking a little bit more about your research, can you explain how cells use glucose as fuel and how the hormone insulin increases their use and removal of glucose from the blood?
Most of the cells in our body use glucose for energy, along with amino acids, which are the building blocks of protein and fats. Cells can convert glucose to energy molecules, for example, ATP or adenosine triphosphate, through a process called cellular respiration. ATP is the usable form of energy for our cells. Insulin, on the other hand, is a hormone coming from the pancreas, which helps glucose to be delivered and taken up by cells in our tissues, for example, cells in muscle and fat tissues. Insulin can also control how much glucose is produced from our liver cells, and therefore it is a really important hormone controlling glucose balance in our body.
And so what's happening in type 2 diabetes, and why do cells not respond normally to insulin, and why does this cause an increase in blood glucose levels?
So in patients with type 2 diabetes, their cells do not respond normally to insulin. And the reason behind this is still not fully understood. And that is also what my research is trying to tackle with. So when cells do not respond normally to insulin, glucose cannot be sufficiently removed from the blood. For example, insulin cannot stimulate glucose to be taken up by our muscle cells, where glucose is most needed for energy, or taken up by the fat cells, where glucose can be stored as energy in the form of fat. In addition, insulin cannot efficiently communicate with the liver to shut down systems that produce glucose that will normally only occurs during starvation, for example. So all these problems add up and lead to increase in blood glucose levels in type 2 diabetic patients.
So you're aiming to develop a completely new way of improving cell response to insulin in people with diabetes. Can you explain more about your work studying molecules outside cells, the levels of which are increased when cells stop responding properly to insulin?
So our cells are embedded in a network of structural proteins and molecules. And these molecules play a really important role in terms of controlling how cells move, communicate with each other, and behave for normal function. In patients with obesity and type 2 diabetes, it has been found that these structural molecules are increased. So they form an extra barrier for cells to exert normal function. For example, for insulin to be able to work, insulin needs to pass these barriers to reach cells. So this can potentially affect how the hormone insulin works.
And how does this outside structural change detected by proteins on the cell surface alter how insulin works?
So these increased outside structural molecules can also bind to their partner proteins on the surface of cells, which can further induce signaling changes inside the cells, which again can interfere with how insulin works once insulin got inside the cells.
You studied a pathway that you believe is key to connecting to the outside structural molecules to the cell's response to insulin, so glucose removal from blood in fat tissues. What did you discover there?
Yes, we have studied a pathway that involves structural proteins called collagens and their cell surface binding partners called integrins and the downstream signaling molecules, which are inside the cells called integrin-linked kinase. We discovered that when we removed either one of the three parts in this pathway, we were able to restore insulin's ability to remove glucose from the bloodstream and therefore lower blood glucose levels.
Therefore, how has your research results been developed into new ideas for drugs for the benefit of people with diabetes?
So these research results have led us to believe that we can target these structural proteins outside the cells to develop novel treatments for obesity, diabetes, and heart problems. This is because insulin resistance, the condition when insulin does not work, is a common underlying factor for all these diseases. We have tried to use interventions to remove components of the structural network outside the cells and then examine how they affect insulin action and tissue function under disease conditions, for example, obesity-related conditions. So far, we have seen promising results with some of these interventions. However, these are still under the preclinical test and will need further evidence before moving to clinical trials.
My thanks to Dr. Lee Kang for talking to us about her work.
Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. Staying well until a cure is found.
Look out for more episodes of our special podcast discussing research supported by DRWF and the advances being made. To discover how you can continue to help the charity, together with the latest fundraising events, news and information, it's all on our website at drwf.org.uk. I'm Claire Levy from Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. Until next time, thanks for joining us on Living with Diabetes.
Living with Diabetes is a Blue Aurora media production for DRWF. Copyright 2024. Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. All rights reserved.